This is Radio Times. I'm Artie Moss-Cohen. How many high schools have an award-winning Broadway producer attend the opening of one of their musicals? Cameron McIntosh had his limo driver taken to Harry S. Truman High School in Levittown, Pennsylvania, to see their production of Les Mis. He was so impressed with the performance that he stayed for the cast party. Our guest, Michael Sokolov, has written a book, Drama High, about Truman's legendary theater program and its beloved and inspiring teacher, Lou Volpe, who recently retired. Truman has been known for tackling controversial issues through plays like Rent and Spring Awakening under the guidance of Lou Volpe, and it looks like that will continue under its new drama teacher, Tracy Krause. Michael Sokolov attended Truman back in the 1970s. In fact, Lou Volpe encouraged him to be a writer. He's a contributing writer for the New York Times Magazine, author of a number of books, and joins us here in our Philadelphia studios. And Michael Sokolov, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
It's great to be here, Marty.
This is a love letter, is it not? Let's just be honest here.
Yes, it is. I mean, it was one of the great honors of my professional life to go back and spend time with the teacher who had inspired me. You know, who gets a chance to do that? Although I will say that I would have wanted to write this story if Lou had not been my teacher. It would have been a different book, but, you know, this is a story worthy of being told, you know, in a nonfiction, journalistic kind of way. But yes, it's a love letter.
Okay. Well, one of the things, and he was your English teacher, you loved about him, as you write in your book, is you just love to hear him talk, for one thing. And the other was just the passion that he had for the material that he taught.
Yes, I mean, Lou Volpe was a school teacher in an old-fashioned way, and one thing that a school teacher does is shows you his passion or her passion. And when, you know, I saw how much Lou loved the books that he put in front of us and what a beautiful way he had of talking about them, well, I just wanted to read those books, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it was, because they made him so happy. I thought, well, they're going to make me happy. And at that time, that wasn't exactly my thing, but it became my thing.
Well, he told you an important thing. He said you were a good writer. And here you were a high school student, and you had an English teacher who you clearly loved telling you you were a good writer.
Well, yes. And you know, I think that my education was okay, and I knew that I was a good student. I knew I had a few things going on, but what I really cared about was sports. And I think Lou took a look at me and said, you know what, I don't think this kid's going to the NBA. We better put in his head that he's got, you know, this other thing going on. And he said, you're a good writer. And, you know, when a teacher says something to a student, first of all, it has to be true.
Right.
And second of all, it doesn't have to be that profound. It just has to be the right thing at the right moment and go to the right spot. And he did that for me, and he did that for a couple generations of students.
You also described going to his house, having dinner with his family, his wife making, sounds like, you know, pasta and sitting around the table and talking.
I think it was a different time. I mean, I know it was a different time. It was the early and mid-70s, and we were close to our teachers, and they didn't mind having us around. I mean, my basketball coach piled a bunch of us in the car at one point and drove us off to Pat's Steaks, you know.
In South Philly.
So there was more trust. I think there was more closeness. Things were done without maybe any of the suspicions that exist now. So many of us became very close to Lou. We just loved him as a teacher, and he had such an evident love for all of his students.
This is a high school that's in Bucks County in Levittown, which is sort of, as you describe, and I think anyone that knows, is sort of amorphous in that it includes other actual places like Bristol, Middletown, and Falls, just on the outskirts of Philadelphia. And when you were growing up there, this was a kind of up-and-coming middle-class neighborhood.
Yes, this was the American dream. You know, this was the great post-war suburb. U.S. Steel's Fairless Works employed 10,000 men, and they were mostly men, and 3M and Thiokol and GM, and this place was rocking, and there was lots of money around, and people had RVs in their driveways, and they had second homes in the Poconos, and it may not have been culturally rich, it may not have been visually beautiful, but there was money, and there were, you know, lots of big-time union jobs.
And what about today? Different place?
Well, it's a terribly different place. You know, it's not dangerous. It doesn't look in some stereotypically poor way that it's suffering, but it is suffering. People are working at Walmart. They're working in big box stores. They're working in warehouses, and these are non-union jobs. And people are working two and three jobs, and they don't add up to what that one good job used to add up to. So I think of Levittown right now as the epicenter of income inequality and the way that we've just separated from each other. If I can just say,
sure, go ahead.
In Bucks County is a pretty rich place, or a lot of Bucks County is. But when I was there, there was not this Grand Canyon between us in the lower end of Levittown and, say, the people now who go to Council Rock schools. We knew that was a little wealthier area, but now there's no way from here to there. And the kids at Truman really feel that.
Well, and it's interesting you say that, because what we hear from Lou Volpe is that, these kids, many of them have jobs. Many of them have to raise their siblings because their parents are working one and two and perhaps even three jobs, is that these are worldly kids who know about life. And it seems like he used that as part of his theater program.
Absolutely. I think that some of the challenging material that they do would be more difficult at some of these more privileged schools. Because what do we do as privileged parents? We protect our kids, from, negative emotions and from conflict and from scary things. Of course, that's not possible, but we try. In Levittown, these kids have seen a lot. They've seen marriages that have broken up. They've seen, parents' cars repossessed in the middle of the night. They've seen all kinds of struggle and conflict. So if they're asked to do this on stage, it's a way of working out what's going on in their own lives, maybe, and a good way of doing that, but it doesn't scare them. They've lived some of these things.
Well, your book begins back in 2010 with a production of Good Boys and True, and really the very beginning with the auditions, and then through the actual presentation of the play. Tell us what this play is about, because it taps into some of these tough issues.
The play is about a golden boy quarterback at a fancy prep school. And he meets a girl at a food court in a mall, a public school girl, and that very night takes her somewhere, has sex with her, secretly films it, shows it to his teammates, and everything blows apart. The school is scandalized, his family is scandalized, a gay relationship between him and his best friend is revealed. So this is the kind of thing that just terrifies most high schools. Most high schools would not put this on. Yet, it's the very kind of thing that does happen in high schools. So it's not like this was something that couldn't happen. This is something that does happen. And that's the drama that he chose to put on the Truman stage.
Not Sound of Music, right?
Not Sound of Music, not Bye Bye Birdie, not Oklahoma. He did do some of those old standards, but that was not the main thing there.
You write about some of these students who audition and then make it into the play and into the performance, and we get to know them through your description of them, including a student named Mariela Castillo.
Mariela was an absolutely dazzling actress, beautiful, could sing, could dance, just a star on stage. Was in a lot of remedial classes because she had leukemia as a very young child, and the treatment affected her brain in certain ways that she felt she could not assemble large amounts of material and process it and then use it. On stage, she could do it beautifully because it had a through line, it had a plot, it all made sense to her. And this, to me, was a great demonstration of why we need theater, why we need the arts in the schools, because different people have abilities in different areas. And Mariela, one of the things Lou said to me is, I don't see that side of her. So I don't treat her that way. To me, she's one of the most gifted actresses that I've ever had.
And she plays the mother in this film, obviously, playing above her age. But she seemed to understand who this person, who this character was.
Well, she worked at it, as they all worked at it. And she mastered the most difficult part in that play. and she won the highest award at the state festival. And then when the show went on, someone approached Lou and they said, how did you get a professional adult actress
wow.
to play this part? And at first he thought they were kidding, and he said, no, that's Mariela Castillo. That's one of my students.
He also, and it seems like, you know, about, what, half the school at some point would at least try to get into one of his classes or be in one of these plays. And he seemed to want to break down the walls between the arty kids in school and the athletes, for instance.
He did break down those walls. Now, it may help in some small ways that the football team at the school is not a great football team. You know, theater is football at Truman High School. But long ago, long before it became a plot line on Glee that an athlete might be in a play, athletes, you know, have long been in the plays, male athletes at Truman High. And one of them, Zach Phillippe, who was an all-conference baseball player, his father drives a sanitation truck, and he is the golden boy of that school, or was the golden boy of that school. And he came into this theater program, and he loved it. Mm-hmm. And he said to me at one point, he said, I just feel like I have more parts of myself than I realized that I had. And I feel like Lou was giving certain kinds of kids a passport into the rest of their souls and into parts of their souls they didn't know were there yet. And maybe they would have found those later. Maybe a boy like Zach would find it later, or maybe they never would. But this was one of the great gifts of this program.
And I have to say, reading through the book, that many of the students that you talked to said some variation of what Zach said about Lou Volpe, who's going to be joining us in just a couple of minutes, which is that he knew something about me that I didn't know or that I discovered because I was with him.
Yes. And I think
a gift for a high school student.
What a tremendous gift. And one of the things that I try to keep in mind is that Lou is not one of one. I feel that Lou is a stand-in for gifted and creative teachers all across America, hundreds of thousands of them. And part of that gift is to look at a student and to see what's inside of them. And at 16, 17, 18 years old, we don't know yet, but someone else knows. And it can't always be a parent. But when a teacher says, I see this in you, you know, it's so incredibly powerful.
And he said that to you.
He said that to me. He said that to me when he said, you know, you're a very good writer. And this was something that no one had yet told me. And it was such a powerful thing at that time. And it wasn't something I valued about myself yet, but I came to value it.
And that's Michael Sokolov. He's a contributing writer for the New York Times Magazine, author of several books, including a brand new one called Drama High, and it's subtitled The Incredible True Story of a Brilliant Teacher, a Struggling Town, and the Magic of Theater, and that brilliant teacher waiting in the wings, Lou Volpe. And if you attended Truman High School, give us a call, 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-9499. WHYY. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Support for WHYY comes from Delaware Valley College. Delaware Valley College offers a Master of Arts in Policy Studies that prepares students to take leadership roles in developing policies to address important issues impacting our communities. Students can choose from food and agriculture, sustainability and environment, or community and international development. More information about a Master of Arts in Policy Studies is available online at delval.edu/grad.
Next time in Studio 360, the uncanny power of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial.
David C. Fell.
Anyone can relate to a name. If you've given birth to a child, if you've held a baby in your arms, if you've baptized someone and say, I name you, this wall will break your heart.
Kenneth J. Powles.
Next time in Studio 360's American Icons from PRI and WNYC.
Tonight at 10 on WHYY. The Grand in Wilmington supports WHYY and presents comedian Colin Quinn in his one-man show, Unconstitutional, Friday, October 25th at 8 p.m. Quinn tackles 226 years of American constitutional calamities and offers his comedic perspective on our national character. From predator drones to the Kardashians, he pulls no punches in asking if this is what the Founding Fathers planned. For tickets, 837 grand or tickets at thegrand.org.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen, again talking with Michael Sokolov about his new book called Drama High, the incredible true story of a brilliant teacher, a struggling town, and the magic of theater. That town is Levittown, just outside of Philadelphia, and the theater program is at the Harry S. Truman High School in Levittown, and that brilliant teacher is Lou Volpe, who joins us on Radio Times. I know you've been listening in, and just retired from the school. And Lou Volpe, I'm assuming your ears are just burning as we're talking about you. Thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
You're welcome. They are pretty hot right now.
I bet they are. I know you had some medical issues. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling much better. I sustained a stroke a few weeks ago, and you know, baby steps, getting better every day, doing what the doctor says, and I appreciate the fact that I was able to communicate with you by phone today. It was really the first time I'm able to talk about the book, so thank you very much.
Well, thank you. We're thrilled to have you. And what has it been like to read about yourself in Michael Sokolov's book?
First of all, there's a great feeling of satisfaction, because you have to remember this started 2.5 years ago, and you really don't think that there's a book at the end of the road. It's the same way when you start a play, you don't really think about the production. And then when it got closer, I thought, oh my God, there really is a book, and it is about me and the drama program. And then when I read it, I was so proud of Michael, because I thought it was beautifully written. And he really did everything he said he was going to do. The first day that we talked about it, when we went out to breakfast, he had been a speaker at our graduation a few years before that, and he said to me, would you mind if I wrote a book about you? And this is what I'd like to do. And 2.5 years later, he proved it. He did exactly what he had set out to do. So, you know, I fell in love with it, and I owe a great debt to him.
Well, and Lou Volpe, it's interesting, in the book, the students call you Volpe, right?
Yes, yes. They call me Volpe. I don't know how that developed, but they just decided to get rid of the Mr. and the E at the end of the name.
And that's kids for you.
I just became Volpe, and it's funny because that's what the faculty used to call me, too. Like, good morning, Volpe, and that was it.
But you know, as I was reading through your book and thinking about the high schoolers that I've known and the high schooler that I was, I think oftentimes high school kids don't reveal parts of themselves. Oftentimes you can look at kids and there's a bit of a wall. They don't want to necessarily let adults inside their thinking, inside their lives, but you seem to have a way into their world. What do you think that is?
Marty, I think you just asked a great question, and a lot of it, I believe, is the fact that I had the advantage of teaching many of these students in classes. So it wasn't that I would just meet them on the stage after school. I would teach a full, you know, schedule of theater. And in those classes, I always taught them not to be great actors or actresses, but to be more self-aware, to be more self-conscious, to gain confidence. And little by little, you know, they began to trust. And when a student trusts you, that's half the battle. So when they came to an audition, the trust was already established, and they would do anything you asked them to do. And I think a lot of it was the fact that I had the advantage of teaching theater in addition to directing theater.
But I also have to say, it looks like you had a real relationship with these students. I mean, trust is obviously at the base of any true relationship.
Sure, and you don't, like, I would never start out a rehearsal with just, you know, staging it. We always would sit around, we would talk about the characters, we would talk about where we want to go with the scene. If there were difficulties, I wanted them to tell me where they felt uncomfortable and how we could work that out. before any lines were spoken or any steps were taken. So there was that readiness before the actual rehearsals would begin. And I think that's very important with high school kids. They have to get their feelings out before they can possibly begin the acting process.
Well, Michael, as someone who took English classes with Volpe, Mr. Volpe, I don't know you quite that well. The kind of teacher that you saw, was that also the kind of drama teacher that you saw with the students at Truman?
Yes and no. You know, I think that when Lou was my teacher, Lou was in his mid-20s. And the ability then he had was to show his humanity to us. And I think that's something that gifted teachers do without losing respect. And so he retained that. But I saw someone 40 years down the road who had just become the master of his craft. And I think he was much better because he was, you know, a very hard-working, dedicated teacher who was better year after year after year. So, yes, I saw that, but I saw the full power of it later on in a way that, number one, maybe he didn't quite have back in his mid-20s. And also, I was observing it as an adult. I was not a student. I was a pure observer at that point and looking at what I thought was the master of what he was doing.
Lou, did you ever act as a high schooler, for instance, yourself?
Marty, I would never get on a stage and act for $1 million.
Really? And why is that?
I know that sounds ridiculous.
It does.
I have never acted, and I have never wanted to, and I always say to them, I don't know how you do what you do because I would never do it.
But obviously, you figure out how to let them do what they do, right?
Somehow or another, I think a lot of it revolves around trust and a great sense of humor. I mean, you can't take it too seriously. I never worry about them making mistakes. I always say to them, there has never been a play that we've done at Truman where there haven't been mistakes. So please don't worry about failing or making a mistake because it's not a big deal. And they appreciate that because they, of course, they want it to be perfect for you, you know. And it's never perfect, but those imperfections make it what it is, make it so rich. And high school theater, that's what it's all about. It's a process. It's not really the end result. To me, it's the learning process, getting from the auditions in early December to a big musical in March. That's my job. Once the curtain opens in March and the audience is sitting there, they're on their own.
I was curious whether you had problems with school boards or the school board or parents. I mean, if you're putting on Spring Awakening or you're putting on Rent or some of these plays that deal with some tough issues, whether there was any pushback from anybody.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that they were problem-free. There were always issues. But you have to remember, too, that in the very beginning, I wasn't doing Spring Awakening, and I wasn't doing Rent. Like Mike said, I was doing Bye Bye Birdie and South Pacific and Oklahoma, and I love those plays. I mean, they're brilliant. As we got into the more sophisticated plays, I thought, you know, we just can't cast them. We have to talk to people. So, I mean, I had no problem going into the principals that I worked with. I had meetings with parents, and I talked to the parents about what the plays would be about, and I asked them to trust me to make them appropriate for a high school audience without losing the teeth of the play.
Right.
And, you know, most of the time, they were very willing to trust me and know that it was going to be a successful piece without embarrassing anyone or being gratuitous or anything like that.
What does that tell you, Michael Sagalov?
Well, I think that part of what Lou was doing, there was sort of like an inside part of it where he was working with the students at a very close level. But there's also an outside part, which is, I don't want to say political, but, you know, part of your job if you're doing something like that is to deal with the principal, to deal with the school board. And also, I might add, one of the things I observed is also to deal with your own selfish interests. You know, Lou is a creative person. He's a person who wants to experiment. So he didn't want to keep doing Bye Bye Birdie. He wanted to do Sondheim. He wanted to do some of these new plays. And, you know, you can ask him, but he certainly told me some of that was for Lou Volpe. But it also served the students, because that's part of what theater should be. But in order to do that, I think that Lou became very skilled at doing it right and telling people what it was going to be all about, and then following through and doing it beautifully.
So some of it was for you, Lou?
Absolutely. I mean, I can remember talking to the vice president at Music Theater International, the licensing company that licensed Spring Awakening, and I had seen it on Broadway, and as soon as I saw it, I said, I have to do this play. I mean, it was a play written in the 1800s and with modern music, and it spoke to today's teenager, and I thought, I have to do this. And I called him, and I said, whenever that becomes available and you feel that I could do a good job with it, please let me do that piece. And he kept his word. He called me and said, the play's available. We'd like you to pilot it. So, yeah, I wanted to do it badly. I really did. And I knew that it was going to be a difficult piece to pull off because, you know, the subject matter was very controversial. So, you know, I talked to our principal and our superintendent. I talked to the parents. I told them my ideas about how I wanted to stage it. And and everybody agreed. And it turned out to be very successful and incredibly appropriate. So it can be done. It just, you just can't jump into it, you know, without doing your homework. You have to do it.
And that's Lou Volpe. He's a recently retired drama teacher at Levittown's Harry S. Truman High School. That's in Bucks County, just outside of Philadelphia. And he's the subject of Michael Sokolov's new book called Drama High, subtitled The Incredible True Story of a Brilliant Teacher, A Struggling Town, and the Magic of Theater. And we want to hear from you. That phone number is 1-888-477-9499, especially if you went to Truman High School. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. Let me get John from New Hope to join our conversation. And John, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty.
Hi there.
Hi, Lou. Hey,
hi.
And Michael.
Hello.
I graduated from, you might remember me. I was in your class in 1971, Woodrow Wilson.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John.
I have to say that without Lou Volpe, a number of other teachers, Fred Slopey, Don DePaul, Lloyd Jonesel, these guys really saved my life. I was suspended 38 times in my senior year.
Whoa.
For lack of, I had no ambition to do anything. We were in a lockdown almost every day because of heavy duty racial fights and things in school. And I've gone on to stay in theater, stay in music for my whole life. I'm 60 years old now with some moderate success. And I really, really owe a very large debt to Lou Volpe, and I really, really appreciate what he's done. Michael, thank you for what you're doing. And Marty, thank you for having these guys on. It means the world to me.
Well, John, thank you, and I really appreciate your phone call to Radio Times. Lou, let me just give you a chance to respond to John. First of all, do you remember him?
John, what last name?
What's your last name, John?
Danaher.
Danaher. I'm sure if I saw him, I would remember him. But I can't believe he's 60 if I'm only 50.
The thing is, in 12th grade, I grew 7 inches, so now I'm 6'5".
Oh my God!
Wow.
So you would have remembered me as a much shorter person.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you have really straightened out your life. That's something a teacher always wants to hear. So congratulations to you.
Yeah, John, thanks for the call to Radio Times. And again, Michael, going back to you and to your book, you know, it feels so sappy and almost a cliche when you find out about a really gifted teacher who cares so deeply about their students. That's the book that you have written, and the person that you've written about is this Lou Volpe that we're talking to.
You know, I agree that it sounds that way. I hope it doesn't exactly read that way.
It doesn't read that way, but you know what I
but
mean.
I think that there's a sentimental and there's a very unsentimental part of this book. And when you write a book that's 300 and some pages, you never know what people are going to grab onto. And one of the really satisfying things to me is that teachers have seen this book as a clarion call. The book is not a book about education, politics, or policy. But you can't read it without thinking about some of those things. And we do have a lot of teachers in straitjackets these days. You know, Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, said, you know, we have to do certain things because the teachers have to be accountable and responsible. It's like, well, what if you don't? They're going to be irresponsible like the children? So, you know, the regime of testing, the regime of accountability, some of it is necessary, but it's also narrowed education. And one of the things that I said in this book is that I don't know if somebody like Lou Volpe is exactly replicable, but I think he's preventable. Mm. And I do fear, and I think teachers have read it this way, that, you know, some of the things we're doing, many of the things we're doing, are preventing, you know, dedicated, brilliant teachers from having the room to be creative forces in their own classroom.
And Lou Volpe, you retired recently, but you taught for more than 40 years. I mean, you must have a perspective on education, especially public education, you know, that really is the long view. And have you seen the kind of straitjacket that Michael Sokolov was just talking about?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. I mean, in the beginning of my career and, like, maybe even more than halfway through my career, I felt like we were educating our students. You know, we gave them a broad education. And now with all these new testing requirements and things, I feel like we're teaching them skills, but I'm not sure we're really educating the whole human. And there's so many good programs that are being cut because of the stress on math and science. And I'm not saying they're important. They're very important. But I think music, art, and theater and even the industrial arts are being sacrificed in so many school districts to make way for all of this testing that just seems to delineate the whole idea of education rather than we should be educating rather than just teaching them how to take tests and passing it.
Let me toss something back to you, Michael Sokolov, which is, and it's in this book talking about Lou Volpe and about the kind of multiple intelligences. I mean, the idea is that, yes, there are some students that just glow academically. I mean, they can ace, you know, an SAT. And then there are so many other students that just don't quite fit into the molds that we have created in our school system.
I think that we know that, and educators know that that as broad as possible a curriculum is what we need because different students hook on to different things. So we know what to do in the schools. The people who cut arts, who cut the humanities, they may very well know that you know, you're leaving some children out, but we give incentives to do just that. If you are going to hold people's salaries and even their careers at in the balance, depending on how people do on tests, and you only test certain things, well, then you are only going to teach certain things. If you say we're going to pay you more money if somebody does, you know, well on this test, and you may lose your job if they don't, you know, that's not a choice. You're giving an order at that point.
Well, let's take another short break. We'll get back to our conversation. That's Michael Sokolov, author of a new book called Drama High, in part about a teacher that he had and a teacher until recently that taught drama at Levittown's Harry S. Truman High School. That's Lou Volpe. We're going to take a very short break, take some more calls at 1-888-477-9499. We'll be right back.
Widener University supports WHYY. Widener offers graduate degree programs including physical therapy designed to give students real-world experience in student-led physical therapy clinics. Widener graduate programs are designed to combine challenging and engaging classroom work with applied learning to help jumpstart your career. Learn more at an open house on Tuesday, October 22nd from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, October 22nd from 5 to 7 p.m. Registration at widener.edu/leadership. Widener Leadership Works.
At some point, you've just got to end it.
Let this be known, that we who made the noise do now the silence own.
Books have endings, even government shutdowns have endings. All things, in fact, a scientific truth we'll explore with Radiolab hosts Jed Abumrad and Robert Krowich next time on The Takeaway from PRI Public Radio International.
today at noon on WHYY.
Delaware Theater Company presents the three-time Tony Award-winning comedy Lend Me a Tenor, October 16th through November 3rd. A raucous farce featuring Five Doors, eight actors, and nonstop laughter, Lend Me a Tenor delights in its own sense of abandon. As the opera's world-famous star goes missing, chaos on a truly operatic level ensues, starring Philadelphia veteran actor Tony Braithwaite. Tickets at 302-594-1100 or DelawareTheater.org. The Delaware Theater Company supports WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Did you have a teacher who inspired you? Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499 or send us an email at radiotimes@whyy.org. Michael Sokolov had a teacher who inspired him, Lou Volpe. And Lou Volpe is the subject of Michael's new book called Drama High. And Lou Volpe just retired as a drama teacher, English teacher at Levittown's Harry S. Truman High School. He lives out in the Bucks County area and unfortunately had a stroke a couple of weeks ago, but is doing better. And we're really thrilled that he's going to stay with us for the rest of the hour and, again, take some calls and talk more about inspiring teachers. Lou, if I can go back to you and actually go back to Michael's book and something that you said here talking about the students at Truman, perhaps compared to some of their more well-off counterparts. You said, I think some of these other schools, they're wealthier and the families have more sophistication, but they really value their comfort. They're almost too comfortable. They want that feeling of security and don't want anything to rock the boat. A show like Rent raises questions about the world we live in, and we're not interested in that. And I think what you saw in your students is that while they had to deal with difficult situations, that was something that was really a strength that they had that they could use on the stage.
Absolutely. My students would leave, like, during a rehearsal, they'd say, Volpe, I have to go to Chick-fil-A, I have my job, and they would just go. I mean, they had to because they were helping to pay the mortgage, you know, and I'm not sure that really occurred in the wealthier school districts north of Bristol Township. You know, they, as Mike said, they lived a much more complicated life. They weren't as safe as some of the richer school districts that were surrounding us.
Do you miss teaching? I mean, you taught for decades. I mean, you spent a lot of time in classrooms and with students. Do you miss that at all?
I miss it tremendously. I really do. I miss my students. I miss the classroom. I loved being in the classroom and. I knew it was time to move on, you know, and I knew it was time for Tracy to take over, but it doesn't take away the fact that I loved what I did. I used to get up every morning, and I was really happy. I'd think, wow, I'm going to school, and I'm going to teach today, and I don't know how many people can say that in their job. Like, I used to look forward at getting up at 5:15 so I could be at school at 7 o'clock and teach. That's how much I loved it. And I know that sounds, like you said, like a cliche, very sentimental, but it's the truth. I did. I loved it, and I loved staying for rehearsal. So, yeah, I miss that.
And I should say that a former teacher of yours, a former student of yours, Lou, Tracy Krause, it sounds like she's carrying on what you started there. And, in fact, Peter Crimmins had a story about her on our airwaves. You can listen to it at newsworks.org. But it seems like the program is in good hands.
It is. Tracy was my student back in ninth grade, and she went through the entire program. And actually, she said to me, I'm going to go to college, and when I come back, I'm going to take your job. I can remember her saying that, and I said, Tracy, if anybody can do it, it's you. And sure enough, she came back after she graduated from college. She became an English teacher and then eventually my assistant. And her words were totally fulfilled. She took my job, and I bless her for it. She's going to be a wonderful, wonderful head of theater. She really is.
Well, and Michael Sokolov, you write about, you know, watching this play unfold over the years, and that, I guess, before the curtain goes up for the final performance or the beginning of the final performances, all the sort of nervousness and will people get their lines right and will they pull things together, and lo and behold, they do. They give an amazing performance.
They, you know, in the productions that I followed, you know, they did beautifully every time. And one of the things that I loved about Lou's theater program, Truman's theater program, is that it was true to Levittown. It was work, and it was serious. And they had fun, and they played, but, you know, they were there to do something specifically, and they set a very high goal. People think the arts are airy, they're frills. But, you know, I thought this was a very muscular program. You could, you know, they set a high goal, they were accountable, and they met it. When they did Spring Awakening, the editor of Broadway.com came to see that show, and he said, "This is the best high school show I've ever seen."
Wow.
Well, that doesn't happen, you know, out of sentimentality or patting everybody on the back, all of which, you know, is part of this program. It happens because Lou would tell people the truth. You know, one of the great things that I heard him say with another production, he said, "You guys have gotten so good that every mistake you make has a spotlight shining on it." And I just thought that was such a great way of giving praise and making a demand. And that would be 2 months of that, you know, in rehearsal. And then at the end, there would be the production, and it would be amazing.
Would you get nervous, Lou, before these productions were fully staged?
Yes, I always, from the minute we had a rehearsal, from the minute we started the auditions, I would be nervous thinking, is this really going to work? Is this going to come together? And there were times, you know, during a rehearsal process when I thought, this may have been the mistake I made in my career. This one's not going to work, you know? And I think, okay, I'm totally ruined. I'm going to have to move to Wyoming and never. But, you know, they're amazing because they are so willing to do anything to make you happy. It's scary sometimes. You have to pull them back. Like, they'll work and work and work, and they want it to be a success. So I really have to credit them so much because they made my job easy. You know, like the more I worried, the more they worked. And then I could see the plates starting to take shape and take form. Mm-hmm. And I became less and less important, which is exactly what I wanted to do. I thought that was my job, was to become the least important person in the entire production. And by the time the curtain opened, I knew I could go home if I wanted to, and the play would be fine.
But I can't imagine you went home. Did you?
Oh, no, you'd have to. They'd have to tie me up before I would get out of that theater.
But would you be backstage? Would you be in the front row? Would you be up in the balcony?
I always sat in the very back of the theater in a chair, completely away from everybody, and let them handle it. You know, we had the students running. That's what I liked about our program. Our students not only acted, but they also ran the lights, they ran the sound. Our technical director, Tony Bucci, taught them well. So it really was a totally student-produced show, from the acting to the music to the technical end of it. It was all students. Now, if there was a question, of course, they knew where they could come. But most of the time, they ran the show from, you know, 7:30 until 10 o'clock. It was their time.
Do you think, Michael, that's a model that could be used not just in other theater programs in high schools, but that kind of learning experience in a science class or an English class or any other kind of class?
Yes. I mean, it's teaching students. It's trusting them. It's and then getting out of the way. I think that's what teaching is. You know, the funny thing about my experience writing this book with Lou is, even in writing this book, in a way, I was his student. He got out of the way. He did not want to see the proposal because he didn't want to fit himself into any conception I had of himself. He did not want to see anything in the book before it was in between hard covers. So the word that comes to me is trust. And, you know, adults have a very, very hard time trusting younger people. Lou has a gift of teaching and then trusting. And yes, that's a great model at any level. It's probably a good model for parenting, too.
Indeed, Lou. And you have a son who's a teacher, is that right?
Yes, my son Tom, who never acted in his life. The only thing he ever wanted to do was be an athlete, which was, I blessed him for that. And he was a great athlete all through high school and college. And then he became an elementary school teacher, and he teaches fourth grade in the same school district that I taught in.
Oh, that's great.
And so does my daughter-in-law. So it's like a family affair.
It sure is. The genes continue. Let me just raise something else, only because you wrote about it in the book, Michael Sokolov, which is that Lou Volpe was married, but realized, I guess, early on in the marriage. And Lou, I do want to get you to talk about this as well. But you write about the fact that he was gay and that is gay today. Was that just sort of part of what this story is about?
Well, I think that to write this book, that I made the decision early on that I was going to write about Lou's life. And sometimes people would say to me, "Are you going to write about Lou and Marcy?" And I always said, "Well, I think Lou would be disappointed if I didn't." He wanted me to tell a whole story. That is not the story, but it's part of his own development and part of his own story, and I think it connects to the rest of the book, and it's been reviewed that way. So that's that's sort of how I handled it, and I think that Lou is happy with the way I handled it.
Well, Lou, in fact, what Michael says is that I think we could hopefully say that about all of our lives is that your life could be a play as well.
Most probably could. But I did respect the way Michael handled that. And, we were very candid about that part of my life. And I insisted that it had to be in there because it was a really important part of my life. I am so blessed that my former wife, Marcy, and I are still very good friends. In fact, she's the one that took me to the hospital the day I had the stroke.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and today, after the show is over, she's home listening to it now. She's driving over, and we're taking a ride up to Peddler's Village together. So we've remained very close in spite of the divorce and all the ensuing problems that, occurred with that. But, we worked through it because we really did love each other. We really did, and we still do. She's a very important part of my life.
Well, and that's, a very, very important. It sounds like a very Lou Volpe kind of thing, the way you write about it, Michael. And then we'll get back to our callers.
Well, I think it's an inspirational part of the book because as we grow as a society, as a country, we see that love takes all kinds of forms and families take all kinds of forms. And very few of them are perfect. And, Lou and Marcy and Tommy and Jess are a family and a loving family that a lot of Americans now would recognize in themselves, in their own families. And that's why I thought it belonged as part of the book.
I agree. Let me get to...
And now the twins.
Yes.
Oh, now the family grows, yes.
The family grows. Next month we're having a boy and a girl twins. We're very excited.
Oh, that's great. Well, let me get some more callers in. We have Pat from Roxborough joining us on Radio Times. And Pat, go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, I just was... thank you for the show. It really resonates with my experience. I'm a mother of a junior high school student at Creative and Performing Arts in Center City, and he's a theater major. And through his work in collaborative arts programs with a group in the city, Yes and Collaborative Arts, and then his Waldorf education for grade school, he chose Kappa and chose theater, and everything you're hitting on is just rings so true for me. It's a really diverse community of kids. He has some great theater teachers, and he's just really passionate and engaged about the program.
Well, Pat, that's really great, and I appreciate the call to Radio Times. And I'm sure for you, Lou, it just kind of warms your heart to think about a young student getting themselves involved in theater.
Absolutely, and I wish him all the best. And the more he stays with it, the more he'll grow. So congratulations to you for encouraging him.
Pat, thanks for the call. Let's see what Paul from Bucks County has to say. And Paul, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes, hi, Lou and Michael.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, Paul.
Hi. I'm
I was a graduate of Woodrow Wilson in 1980. Actually, I used to be Michael's old neighbor in another town, Violetwood. Hi, how you doing, Michael?
Hi, Paul.
Do you have a last name, Paul?
Priestley.
Priestley.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, I had a question for Lou. Not to make you feel bad or put you on the spot, but I'm always rooted for Truman. I'm always hoping for the best for them, they've been looked down on in certain situations, not being the best at everything. But I really root for Truman, and I was wondering what now is going to happen to the drama department now that you're not at the helm, Lou. Not to make you feel bad, but taking over?
Yeah, someone is. Yeah, go ahead, Lou.
I don't know if you remember Tracy Krause. She was a student at Truman, and now she was my assistant, and she was my assistant for 10 years, and she has taken over, and the classes are all still there. There's still like 9 fast theater classes. 2 theater teachers are teaching, so the program is still moving forward, and I'm very happy about that.
Thanks for the call to Radio Times. And Michael, we're almost out of time here, but do you see, I mean, obviously this is a very special program, but in many ways, Truman High School, like a lot of high schools in this country, really struggling to teach its students?
Well, I think Truman High School has a lot of pluck, you know, and I think that there are tough people in there, and I think they'll do okay. What does sadden me is this division between Truman High and its neighbors and this canyon between them. When I went to school, it wasn't that way. And, you know, the kids at Truman now will tell you when we go to play some sport against some other school, you know, they have their noses in the air. And I don't think they're making that up. And I just think that's terribly sad. This program is a way of saying, look, we at Truman can do anything. Look at what we're doing in theater.
Well, Michael Sokolov, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and the book is called Drama High. And Lou Volpe, thank you very much for joining us. You added so much to the program. Thank you so much, and good luck with your health and your family as well.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Lou Volpe, until recently, ran the drama program at Truman High. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times to find out more about this program. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, is produced by Susan Greenbaum, Patty McMahon, Debbie Bilder, and Emily Bryant. I'm Marty Moscoane. Thank you so much for joining us.